Good morning. My name is Charlene, and I'll be doing the reading from Proverbs. We'll start with Proverbs 3, verse 25 and 26. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Proverbs 14, verse 22. Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisers they succeed. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Proverbs 16, verse 9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring.
Well, again, good morning, everyone. And I forgot to say this before, but Happy New Year. This is our first service for 2024. And I love this time of year where we get to think about the year ahead of us and make our plans. It can be a really exciting but also a really daunting time as we consider what the year ahead might look like. Sarah and I, this time each year, get out our big wall planner. We plan our holidays and we do our best to predict the busier times of our year so we can be well prepared for them. This year promises for us a fun family trip to Dubbo, Sarah's sister's wedding, and hopefully a trip to see my brother and his family in Port Macquarie. This morning, as we continue in the book of Proverbs, we're thinking about planning, which I must say has been very well planned as we start the year together. We'll think about questions like, should we make plans? How do we plan? What happens if our plans fail? But as with all planning, it's good to start by speaking to God. So let me pray as we think about planning this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for this new year. Help us to glorify you in all that we do in 2024 and in all of our lives. Help us now as we think about planning to be guided by your word so that we may please you in all of our plans and trust you in all of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Through our time in Proverbs, we've been using this topographical image and thinking about how the book of Proverbs helps us to live wisely in God's world as we fear the Lord, trust the Lord, and obey the Lord. We've thought about how Proverbs is like a map for life. And to use a map well, we need to plan where we're going to go. Good planning is helpful for the lives ahead of us. It prevents us from just wandering aimlessly and helps us to reach the goals that we set. And planning's helpful for a sermon too. So let me outline the plan for where we're going to head this morning. The case I'm making today is that Proverbs teaches us that we should plan to glorify God in community, knowing that our plans may fail, but confidently trusting that God's plans never fail. There's a lot in that sentence, and we'll look briefly at each idea as we think about what all of this might mean as we start the year together. So firstly, we'll see that Proverbs teaches us that we should plan, that the act of making plans is wise. It may not be from the Bible, but the modern proverb, a failure to plan is planning to fail, turns out to be true. And in the book of Proverbs, the need for planning is frequently seen through the agricultural pictures of planting and harvest seasons. There's a time to sow and a time to reap, and we need to be prepared for them. Proverbs 20, verse 4, a sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. Or chapter 10, verse 5. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. So there's wisdom in planning for the different seasons of life. For us, this probably won't look quite as agricultural, but in all of our life, as we plan our work or think carefully about how we use our time and our money or what we do with our lives, planning is a wise action. Proverbs 21 verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. And our plans should be realistic. In an age where we're told to chase our dreams and that we can accomplish anything that we put our mind to, the picture in Proverbs of someone working the land is one of quiet simplicity. He who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. In the New Testament, Paul tells us that we should make it our ambition to lead a quiet life. See, we don't need to be planning to be gold medal Olympians or to be fully successful in the eyes of the world, although there's nothing wrong with those things. We are to plan our simple life and we plan to glorify God in it. See, more than just planning for our own prosperity or our own success, Proverbs encourages us to be planning that we may please God in all we do. We're to plan our godliness. See, because our hearts are bent away from pleasing God, whenever we just aimlessly drift, we find ourselves falling more and more away from the things that please God. It's hard to walk that narrow path of obedience. So Proverbs tells us to make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. And chapter 14, verse 22, do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. So Proverbs shows that there's benefit for those who plan what is good and harm for those who plan what is evil. And if we think that we can get away without God knowing our plans, Proverbs warns us against that too. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And chapter 5, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. God knows all of our plans, and he will reward those whose plans are pleasing to him. We should be people who are planning to grow in godliness, who are seeking to glorify God in all that we do. As we start the new year, that might look like planning what we're going to work through in the Bible, in our own Bible readings. Or it might look like planning our week so we can be committed to a connect group during the year. Or planning how we can serve the body of Christ, both in our church here at Shell Harbour and in other spheres of our life. It's good to plan, and it's good to plan godliness. But knowing that planning is good and that we should plan to do good, how do we actually go about making our plans? One of the most frequent things that Proverbs says here is that we are to listen to the advice of others. We plan in community. Chapter 15, verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisers they succeed. And those advisers include even and especially our parents. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. See, we need this help and advice from others because our hearts are deceitful. By ourselves, even if we seek to plan good, we do so in ways that tend towards our own good, more than the good of others. So it's wise to seek advice as we make our plans. Chapter 12, verse 15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. All that said, we still need to be discerning, don't we? There's certainly advice that we do well not to listen to. Chapter 12, verse 5, the plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. When Sarah and I were considering getting married, we were pretty young, and so I wisely asked for advice from my parents. My dad's not a Christian, so his advice was that Sarah and I should move in together before getting married, or at least do some travelling together. And it was good for me to hear that advice, to hear the thoughts that my dad had to say. But in the end, as a Christian, I didn't think that that was advice I could follow. So obviously we need to be discerning about how we plan in community. But Proverbs is clear that we plan wisely by listening to the advice of those around us. So we are to plan, we plan to do good, and we plan wisely by listening to advice from people around us. And obviously, at some point, we need to go beyond just planning and actually put these things into action. Proverbs 14:23. All hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Even if we plan well and plan godliness and listen to advice and put it all into practice, our plans will not always happen, will they? We are not the ones who are in control. So as we make our plans and seek to make them happen, we do so knowing that our plans may fail. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." And our New Testament reading from James made a similar point, rebuking the one who boasts in their own plans, saying, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Very encouraging words, aren't they? See, in all of the good plans that we make, we cannot guarantee that even a single one of them will come to pass. Not even our plans for tomorrow. For all of our plans, we're not in control. All of our best laid plans for 2024 may completely fall apart. Earlier I mentioned that we're planning a trip to Dubbo this year. And this was actually a plan for 2023. We'd booked and paid for our accommodation, decided what we'd do on our holiday, and we were all really excited. But just a few days before we were due to leave, sickness struck. We were going away with some friends, and very unexpectedly, as these things always are, he was found to have cancer through his body. He needed to be home for an emergency operation. So we rebooked the trip for later that year. But in another few weeks' time, we found out that the operation hadn't been 100% successful and he needed to start chemo. Thankfully, my friends recovered really well and we've rebooked that trip again for this coming April, and we pray that we're all healthy this year. But so often, our plans don't happen the way that we plan, do they? But even that shouldn't be reason for us to stop planning. Even though our plans may fail, Proverbs urges us to plan with confidence. From very early in Proverbs, in chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, the father tells his son to have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. And as we get to the end of the book of Proverbs, as Proverbs concludes with the picture of the wife of noble character, the one who lives out the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. And we hear of her famously laughing at the days to come. It sounds almost naive, doesn't it? Is this just Proverbs in a very Proverbs-type way, looking at only the best-case scenario? Well, I don't think so. Proverbs knows that not everything will go our way. And although it does consistently show the positive outcomes from living a wise and godly life, Proverbs is also very aware of the trials of life, but is able to remain confident in God even through these trials. Proverbs 10:25 says, "When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever." As we make our plans for the year ahead, we expect that we will all have storms, have trials that we face. But we can face them with confidence, not because our plans are certain, but trusting that God's plans are certain. The book of Proverbs has lots to say about the way that we make our plans, but it also points to the certainty of God's plans. We should plan to glorify God in community, knowing that our plans may fail, but we plan confidently, trusting that God's plans never fail. Proverbs tells us that there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. God is repeatedly shown as sovereign, as in control of all things, whether it's the decision of a king. Proverbs 21 verse 1, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases." Or the roll of a dice. "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." Proverbs shows God's sovereign power, his control, his all-pervasive providence. Proverbs 16 verse 4, "The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster." Although our plans fail, God's do not. That's why we can be confident as we make plans, even knowing that things may not, probably will not, go the way that we plan them. So we plan our course, trusting that it's the Lord who determines our steps. We make many plans, but know that whatever happens, it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So we make our plans knowing that God's plan will prevail. And we trust that even as our plans fail, God's plan is better. The original audience of Proverbs had good reason to trust God's plans. They knew God as a God whose plans never fail. They'd heard of God keeping his plans to save his people through the Exodus from Egypt. So they could trust that even when things weren't going to their plans, God's plans would prevail. But how much more reason do we have to trust God's plans this side of the cross, where God has shown just how far he will go to keep his plans, even going to the cross for us? It's at the cross that by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, Jesus was put to death by being nailed to the cross. God will fulfill all of his plans. And we have the privilege of knowing where God's plan is going. The eternal plan that spans from before the creation of the world to the end of the age and into eternity. In Ephesians 1, Paul writes about this eternal plan and he tells us where it's all going. God made known the mystery of his will to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. God is bringing everything together under Christ. God's plan has a purpose. So even when things don't go according to our plans, we can trust that God's plans are for our good as those who trust in him. In Philippians, as Paul sits in a jail cell, he's able to write confidently, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." God will continue his work in us, whether it's by allowing this year to go the way that we plan, or by growing us through circumstances that are so far from our own plans. There's still so much we don't know about God's plans, but we can trust him, confident that the God who has planned all eternity is at work for our good and for his glory. In a moment, we're going to share in the Lord's Supper together, where we reflect on God's plan for Jesus to die for us, to bring us forgiveness and salvation. It's by knowing what Jesus has done at the cross that we can have confidence to trust in God's plans. See, we are not in control. But as we think about our plans for the year ahead and for the future, we should plan to glorify God in community, knowing that our plans may fail, but we plan confidently, trusting that God's plans never fail. In 1939, as Britain faced raging conflict and an uncertain future, King George VI used his Christmas address to quote from a poem called God Knows by Minnie Louise Haskins. The poem's also known as The Gate of the Year because it speaks about an unknown year ahead. And I'll read the portion that King George quoted. "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way.'" As we look forward to the year ahead, let us be people who plan to glorify God in all that we do, in our big plans and in our small plans, knowing that even as our best laid plans may fail, our Father's plan is certain. So let's trust him as he continues to work for the good of those who love him, even when things don't seem like they're going to our plans. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless our plans for 2024, both as a church and as individuals. Help us to plan to glorify you in all that we do. Help us to plan wisely and trust that even if our plans fail, your plans are always good and you are always trustworthy. In Jesus' name, amen.